content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Friday, June 29th.
Hello.
Hello.
I never get the volume
Hola.
Right. Like, right, it's not. I don't know.
Well, now we got it right.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Friday, and we're starting a week's vacation next week.
Yeah.
Thanks to Brigetta. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Have you decided what you're going to do?
You know, I'm actually entertaining the thought of driving up north.
Okay.
Like, you know, and go like as far north as possible in like 2 days and then 2 days to come back.
That could be so cool.
I know. You know, yeah. I mean, I love driving up the coast. We'll get to San Francisco, maybe past it a little bit. You know, it would be cool. You know, wine country and shit. So I'm seriously thinking about it. Yeah.
If you stop in Paso Robles, because it's on the way, just let me know, because I have the hook up there, because I wrote a whole article on them and everything. Uh-huh. So just let me know and I'll make sure I'll tell you where to go or not to go and see if I can hook you up.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Because we
with the hotel or something?
Yeah, with everything. I mean,
really?
Yeah, just let me know. Oh, but God. I can't just do it the day before. Like, it has to be, you know.
Okay.
Yeah,
just gotta let me know. God, man, you get like carte blanche to everything.
Yeah.
That's cool. So what are your plans for the week?
Well, I'll talk to you about it later.
Okay. So you probably just go out of town a little bit, enjoy yourself and stuff.
Yeah.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
The weather's nice and everything, so why not, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool, you know.
I'm excited. I mean, I might see my nephew, which I'm kind of stoked about, and I will see my nephew. And he's little and cute, and I can't wait.
Yeah. Awesome.
But yeah.
So yeah.
Get some. Actually, his father, my friend, will be calling into the show the week we get back. They have a new show that it's airing nonstop right now, the commercials. You guys should definitely check it out. It's called Property Wars, and it's on Discovery Channel. And what he does is he's a foreclosure person, so he buys homes, flips them, and sells them. But he buys them from the auction. Mm. And, I mean, it's a dirty business.
Really?
There's a lot that goes on. But
I'm sure.
Yeah, it's his company. He's one of the top companies in Arizona. So his show is actually premiering July 12th on Discovery, but the commercials are airing nonstop right now. So he's going to call into the show, I believe, that Wednesday before on the 11th, just to talk about it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so it'll be cool. But you guys look out now. Look for the commercials.
Yeah, more reality shows.
More
just
reality. But it's interesting because it's on foreclosures. It's on, buying houses and selling them. Sort of teaches you how to do it, but what really goes on.
Right.
You know? So it's kind of neat.
Yeah, no, it would be interesting. You know, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just that there's so many friggin' reality shows, you know, like HGTV, they've got all, you know, constantly like about buying houses and things like that around the world. You
right.
know? Doesn't really interest me, but my wife keeps it on.
See, I like that kind of stuff.
Do you?
I like that kind of stuff. I think it's kind of cool.
Wow.
Oh, I like, anything on Discovery I pretty much like because I like watching Animal Planet. Anything with animals.
Yeah, that's cool.
And all that stuff is really cool. And some of the house stuff I don't mind because it's neat. I like the redecorating shows.
Right.
When they go in and they like completely redo an entire place or room. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. I know women like that.
Yeah.
I'm not that into
Even like, well, see, I'm like into like hammering and I don't know, I kind of grew up like that in a way. You know,
that's true, like do-it-yourself type of a thing.
Yeah. Well, my grandfather was, he owned a huge company and they built our entire neighborhood. So, in fact, half of our family lived in our neighborhood. But, he built everything. And I remember just being a kid watching and, you know, going to the sites and being able to hammer the stairs. That's all I was allowed to do. But, you know, like watching everything. And so I think it's cool, you know?
I know. I used to work in construction when I was like 16, 17,
really?
You know, and doing like drywalling and all that stuff. And I hated it, man. it's not for me, you know. I need to work with my head.
Yeah, yeah,
not
yeah.
so much with my hands. I remember when I was young, I used to build like airplane model airplanes okay. and things like that,
yeah.
you know. And I love that stuff, you know, but I'd get so irritated with the details. Sometimes I just throw it across the room and break it, you know.
Wow. Okay, I guess I've been through that yeah. before if it doesn't
I don't have patience
way.
For those things.
That's
you
funny.
Know? Yeah.
So you never play with Legos?
No, I did with my kids.
Okay.
With my kids quite a bit, yeah. No, that's not enough to irritate you, but, you know, I mean.
Yeah, the Legos. If you look at the picture, I'm like, I want to build that castle. And yeah. it does. It takes forever.
Right.
It takes forever. And I would take forever to do it, and I would leave it up for days and days. And then my brother would come and destroy it,
uh-huh.
and I would get so pissed. I would get so mad.
Yeah.
Just ruin all my work.
Legos are fun. Have you ever yeah. been to Legoland?
No, I haven't, but I was going to take my friend's kids, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll have a lot of fun, you know, because it's not just rides, but you see the things that people make out of Lego.
Oh, really?
And it's just amazing.
That's really cool.
Oh, yeah. There's like
like
New York City and Chicago and L.A. and Las Vegas, all made out of Legos. So it's amazing, you know. And then they have like big animals throughout the park, like an elephant made of Legos and things like that. So, yeah, you'll have a lot of fun. It's definitely different.
Yeah.
You know, than other theme parks and stuff.
Good.
So, yeah, Lego
I'll
school.
I'll definitely try that. I can't even speak. God, what is wrong with me? I'm tired.
Yeah, you're tired, huh?
Yeah.
You need some time off.
I do.
So that was a great guest we had yesterday, Christina.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
She's funny.
Yeah, it was an interesting conversation. And then she, I guess she did get the 250 votes she needed.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
Which was awesome because I think yeah. a lot of it came from here.
Yeah.
So thank you,
and
everyone.
And I did too. I voted for it.
Cool.
So, and then I realized how, once she made me aware of it, I realized how many people are trying to do the same
yeah.
thing. Facebook is full of people trying to get that 250 votes.
Yeah, you only need 250 to qualify, and they
right.
pick 12.
Right.
So, I mean, that's really cool. I wish I knew about it, or I would have done it
yeah.
for my own thing. But
you know what's going to be out
whatever.
Of millions of people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'm pretty good at getting what I want if I had known about it. If I had known about it, I would have publicized the hell out of it. I would have got 1,000 votes.
Really?
I would have been like, who is this
yeah.
girl? You know? But I didn't know.
Yeah, 250 is not a lot of votes that you need.
No, it's
you
not.
Know?
I would have gotten 1,000.
No.
It would have been my mission. But whatever. I mean, I will do my next time, and I really hope she wins. Her place is really cool, and it really does help people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
She was a fun girl, and then we revealed that you guys have had something going. And that was like a shocker to me. You know?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
But it's amazing that you stay friends and stuff. You
oh,
know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's cool. You
it
know?
Was hard for her at first. That
really?
Was one thing. Yeah.
What, to stay friends after
it? Yeah, it was weird.
Did you guys develop something?
Well,
like
she
a relationship?
Wanted it to be that way, and I'm not, like, I can't.
Yeah.
Sorry, I need the dick.
Yeah.
You know?
Give
me
the penis.
Yeah, exactly. So I couldn't, you know, and it freaked me out. Like, it was like a new thing, and I was freaked out. And so,
yeah, you just wanted to experiment
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And she probably had something more
totally different. And then it started getting weird because, like, we would hang out as friends, or I'm thinking we're going out as friends, and then she had in her head that it was a date.
Oh.
And I'm like, what? What are you? Yeah, it got.
That does create a problem, huh?
It got really weird, and then we didn't talk for a while. So, and then after that, then I was like, come on, I miss you. Like, can you just hang out as friends, please?
Yeah.
And then she, you know, then we were fine.
Okay,
so,
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now she knows to keep her hands off.
Well, yeah, she was dating someone for a while who was awesome. Like,
right.
I really liked who she was dating. And they're weird right now, but, you know, whatever,
yeah.
it happens. But they were good. That was like her first long, real thing in a while.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So that was good for her.
Yeah, so that's heartbreaking, huh?
Yeah, and girls, man, like girls dating girls, like that's just, that's shit.
Is
like
it
girls
really?
Are crazy anyway.
Yeah.
You know, like I couldn't do it. There's no way. I could never date a chick. Mm-mm. I couldn't date myself. I think I'm pretty damn fantabulous.
Yeah,
but
you're still way out there for yourself, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I am, yeah, I'm on my own planet. The thing is, I like to be alone a lot. Like,
yeah.
I do like being alone. Mm. I actually like it. Like, love it, you know?
Yeah.
I like going everywhere. I mean, I like having my friends around and such. Don't get me wrong. Like, I like hanging out and everything. But I am a loner in many ways.
Really?
So, it's, yeah. So, it can be, I guess, complicated for other people.
Yeah. Well, that comes as a surprise. You definitely don't look like a loner or anything.
Yeah. I'd rather be in my room alone Yeah. Watching TV and reading a book. If someone's there, it irritates me.
Really?
Yeah, I want to be by myself. It's my time to just be by
Exactly.
myself.
So when you're with people, you actually go out and you're prepared for it and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentally prepare for going out and being around a bunch of people. And then, but I'm a person, I like going out with a bunch of people. Mm. But as soon as that happens, I have to come back and retreat.
Really?
For maybe a week. Yeah. And I don't really want to go out with anyone. Yeah. I just don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Oh. I get in weird moods. And then if I go to a big party, I'm like, all right, cool. And I'm over it like 2 hours later. And I'm like, all right, I'm done. I want to go home and chill now.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I just don't care anymore. I mean, I don't know. You know what it is too? Is like a lot of these parties are really boring.
Really?
And they're nothing like I used to have, like I used to do.
Right.
And they just don't have those parties anymore.
Really?
So I get really.
So why are they boring? I mean, what's going on there? Nobody does anything.
It's the same old shit. It's the same old, like, you know, like the Candyland event we went to. There's like, you know, thousands of people, and all these men dress up in suits, and all these women dress painted, or they're not painted, they're dressed up in lingerie or sleazy outfits. And then you've got the sick DJ, who's great. Mm-hmm. And you've got, you know, all these millions of rooms. And I like exploring the house. That's like the cool thing. Like, let's go through the house and check everything out.
It's called Candyland?
Candyland, yeah.
Where is it?
Well, it's usually at Playboy. But this year they changed it and it's at a different mansion.
I see.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So I just kind of went through and was looking at the rooms, and which was a really cool house. And checking all that out and walking around, seeing who I knew. And then at one point I ran into all these people. And I was like, oh, this is fun now. Now I know everyone. But when it's a bunch of people I just don't know, I'm like,
I know.
I don't know. I just don't. It's a lot of newbies, and you know, I've been here for 10 years, and I'm kind of like, well, people that I go, you know, they just don't go out as much anymore, or they do different. I don't know. And then I ran into a bunch of people I did know at one point, but it's like they were quickly over it too.
Yeah.
And I found that interesting. I mean, it was cool. Don't get me wrong. It was cool and all that, but it's not like the parties I used to have. Like, I don't know. I'm used to hanging out. Like I used to, when I hung out in the circle with Val back in the day, and I was working for him and hanging out in that circle, it was incredible, those parties.
Yeah.
Nothing compares to that. Yeah. Like, I can't. Like, we threw the best parties, you know, too. Like, we threw a lot. And we had so much fun. Nothing compares to when I first moved here and the parties that I saw then. And it was interesting, too, because, like, a lot of the owners of, like, Koi, they would throw parties. And those were really fun house parties. And you knew everyone. Like, every party you went to, you knew them.
Right.
And I kind of missed that circle and circuit of people in a way. Like, that was really fun and cool, but cool. I don't know, everyone's kind of grown
up. We've got a phone call. Actually, I forgot we have a guest.
Oh, yeah, you have a guest calling in.
Good morning, you're on the air. Go ahead.
This is Greg in Cleveland. You're calling guests. Hello?
Yes, hello, hello. We didn't expect you.
I totally forgot. What do you mean? You told me to call in at 1:15, you creep.
Absolutely, and I love it, but I totally forgot, man. So I'm glad you remembered. And,
I can't imagine you would begin to remember after your co-host is telling you what a miserable life she has, partying at strippers and having cool parties. What a terrible life you lead.
I know, it is miserable.
No, it's not the same anymore. I mean, it's still fun, whatever, but it's not the same. Like, you know what it is? I'm tired of these people and the scene here in LA. I really am. Because
you've done it a lot.
I've done
that's
it.
Why,
I'm almost over. I do have to say, when I go to Miami, it's fucking amazing. Like, the parties there are incredible. Everyone's inviting. Everyone's gorgeous. Everyone's from all over. You know, a lot of Latino, like, whatever. But it's so much fun. They're like boat parties. And it's just crazy. And it's just people from all over the world. Those are fun. Still, like, I like doing that.
Why don't we trade for a week? And after 36 hours, you'll be clawing to get back to LA.
You know what? I do like retreating, so I might need a nice retreat. Can I go camping near your area?
Is there any camping
where
you are?
There's a bunch of camping around here. There's also unemployment and body odor.
Yeah.
I'm not done with the unemployment unless they're getting unemployment. Like.
Well, I don't know a lot of people that are getting that anymore either.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, people go for so long that they, you know, they run out of money. You know,
that's right.
Yeah. Yep. So Greg Rempe, the host of Barbecue Central here on LA Talk Radio every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific. And Greg has done a show with us for 4 years, and he's just amazing. I mean, Brigetta, can you imagine talking about barbecue for 4 years?
No.
I mean, I don't know what's there to say, but so people are blown away when I tell them that, Greg. And I'm just saying, this guy really loves what he's doing, you know. So tell us a little bit about the show, Greg.
Well, I mean, the show kind of changed over time, but look, kind of like you're saying, can you imagine somebody that gets up for, I mean, it's actually now a two-hour show, so LA Talk Radio still carries the first hour, but through the growth of the show, I just wasn't able to get everything that I wanted to talk about in like a one-hour, once-a-week show, so I extended an extra hour out. But it's just, when you don't know about an industry, and this just goes across business lines and industry lines as a whole, when you don't know specifically about a certain industry or a certain niche, you're surprised to find out that it digs so deep, that the roots and the network structure are so vast and far-reaching. To me, it's like a no-brainer. I could sit here, because of the format of my show and how I've made it kind of repeatable every week, and that I'm touching on so many different parts of the industry, that I almost don't have enough time in a two-hour show, believe it or not, to do it once a week. So, you know, just like, you know, people blasting rails off of dead hookers or porno or cars or tires or drag racing, it all seems so very superficial on the top, but once you actually dig into the industry itself, you find that there's just a lot of stuff underneath that nobody ever knew about. And the same thing holds true with my industry that I cover and the show, which is, you know, a bunch of different parts. It's part covering, like, living on my childhood dream of being a sports talk show host, because I cover the competition side of barbecue, and there's a whole circuit on that. I talk to pit makers and grill makers and accessory makers and cookbook authors. So it kind of has a little bit of something for everybody, from the novice to the mediocre and to the guy that's out there doing it competitively on the competition circuit.
Well, amazing. So I had you call in because 4th of July is coming up, and people are going to be barbecuing and stuff. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, I've been meaning to ask you for a long time, Greg, because I seem to suck at barbecue big time, you know. I don't know why. It seems like at one time I was doing very well. Now, every time I cook a steak, it comes out tough. And, you know, tell me, what is the best way to create a steak? I mean, what's like, what's the best, you know, meat for a steak? I mean, you know, what am I doing wrong, Greg? I mean, I'm just putting it on the fire, you know, high heat, I think, and I just let it blast in there, you know. But it's either too red inside or it's just dry. You know? Let me know. I don't marinate it. I don't put it in anything. Just straight meat. Go ahead.
Well, practice makes perfect. So that's first and foremost. So if you're doing it, you know, once a month or a couple times a month, your results probably aren't going to get any better than they are now, so you're going to have to put up with it. But look, first things first, you got to start out with a decent quality meat. And I don't mean quality being cut of meat, because I can make an argument that a top sirloin cut of meat is going to be more flavorful and have a better quality price ratio than a porterhouse or a filet. Filet is completely overrated as far as I'm concerned, as far as, you know, taste and the quality that it brings to the table. But if you have a good butcher that's around you and you get to know them, that's what I encourage everybody to do. Find a local butcher or find somebody that's very knowledgeable on meat around you and build a relationship with them and ask them questions. They're going to know a lot about the meat, where it's come from. Because meat is kind of taking on this evolution of wine, naturally fed, certain grasses that it's being fed, and giving that a certain flavor on the finish when you're actually eating it. So it's becoming more and more mainstream, and it's gaining a lot more popularity. So get the cut of meat first. Make sure that it's coming from a reputable purveyor. And then, you know, for steak, it's not, I don't think it's a great idea to take it like right out of the refrigerator and then throw it right on the grill. Steak needs to come up to room temperature. So get the steak. I recommend at a minimum a 1 1/4 inch of thickness. I like 1.5 myself. That might be a little too much for someone.
Yeah, it's
probably not you, Bridget, if you know what I'm talking about. But look, set that meat out an hour in advance of you cooking on it. Put it out on the table. Go ahead and rub it down with salt and black pepper. If you have some other kind of, you know, exotic rub, that's fine. But set it out. Let it start to get up to room temperature. Now, about 15 minutes before you're ready to cook, light your grill up. Depending on what kind of a fuel you're using. Let's use propane, for example, because a lot of people are using propane stuff. Let it get as hot as it will go. You've done a burn off of whatever was on there last time, so you're not going to get any weird tastes that are going to attach itself to the steak.
Right.
And then take a big grill brush, kind of run it over the grates real quick, so now you have a nice clean grill, it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's been a disservice to a certain degree by these food TV people telling you that you always got to cook on the highest heat possible. And another thing I like to say is searing is sealing in the juices. That's complete bullshit. There's no scientific proof to say that searing is sealing any juice in whatsoever. So don't always believe what you hear on the TV, much like you don't believe everything you read on the internet.
Right.
I would say, you know, start off hot as you can get, mm-hmm. for a couple minutes on each side to give it, you know, searing is providing like a crust on a steak, if I can explain it as a layman term.
Okay.
But there's an actual chemical reaction taking place on the top part of the meat that browns, and then it kind of caramelizes all of the sugars that were in the protein. So you have a nice texture difference in your mouth. You kind of have a crunchy top, but then you have that nice, moist, succulent center that you're looking for in the steak. But it's not sealing any juices in, let's be honest. So once you have it seared on both sides, then turn the heat down. What I do is I sear it really good on both sides, and then I do what's called an indirect finish. So depending on how many burners you have on your gas grill, let's say you have four.
Right.
I would turn the far right one on high, I would turn the far left one on high, and I would turn the two in the middle off completely, and I would move my steak to where there is no direct heat. And now you're getting this you're basically slowly ramping up that internal meat temperature to where you want it without overshooting.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you put the steak on that grill cold, what you end up, and I know you've seen it probably 100 different times, Sam, is when you cut open that steak, in the middle you have very brown on the top.
Right.
You have kind of this weird gray color, you know, right underneath it. Then you have this thin strip of probably where you wanted it. And then it repeats itself where you don't want it, from, you know, middle down and then all the way down to the bottom. So you have this strip of color that you think is good, but because of the bad information, because you're not practicing, you're really not hitting on all cylinders. So if you let it warm up, it allows the steak to cook to a temperature more uniformly. So now when you cut it open, you're going to have a much bigger medium rare or medium or, you know, however you take it.
Right.
Color, almost like a bumper to bumper. And there's a method that you could do that a lot of people wouldn't bother doing, called a sous vide method, that basically gets the whole piece of meat up to one specific temperature, let's say 120 degrees.
Right.
But it looks really crappy. It looks like this watery, mucus gray color because you cook it in this water bath.
That just sounds gross.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that before.
It looks outrageous. Now, to take care of that, well, here's the benefit. The whole piece of meat is at 120 degrees. So if you cut it open, you would have whatever color you want from the top all the way to the bottom. Now, you finish it on super high heat, a couple minutes each side. Now you got the grill marks. Now you have the char on the outside that you want. But it is bumper to bumper, top to bottom, the same color, which is exactly how all of the high-end restaurants do it. And it's just, you know, the more practice, the more things you try, the more you're going to find out what works best for you. And those are like the two key factors. Now, regardless of whatever you're grilling, you get your grill up to temperature, you put the meat down on the grill. Sam, tell me, and Brigetta, how many times have you seen the schmuck that's working in the grill 15 seconds after he's put burgers or hot dogs or steak down start getting after it with like a fork or tongs or a spatula, already starting to move? What the fuck is he doing?
Okay, I admit, I'm probably one of them.
Yeah, I mean, why? What are you doing?
I don't know.
Why do you hate the meat so bad that you want to start fucking with it already?
I feel like I want to fiddle with it. I like fiddling with meat.
You said it exactly right. A, you like fiddling with meat, which I respect. But B, more importantly, you don't know what to do with it. People get all nervous. Like, they got to start moving it around immediately. Put the meat on the grill. And instead, when that overwhelming urge to start moving it around happens 15 seconds later, go have a beer. Relax.
Yeah.
Let the meat cook. If you get at it too soon, the meat sticks to the grill. When it's ready to be turned, you'll be able to fit a spatula right underneath. There'll be no resistance whatsoever from chicken, from beef, from pork, you name it. As soon as it's ready to turn, it'll just come right off the grill. Boom. Then you turn it over, and then you're all ready to go. There will also be little indicators on meat, like burgers and steak. There'll be little blood pools forming on the top side of the meat.
Right.
Then you can start to take... give it a little tug. If it says, no, I'm not ready yet, it'll stay down on the grill grates. When it's ready, it'll just come right off, turn it over, and then you're good to go.
Amazing.
Just leave it be, for crying out loud, people. Relax.
So you're saying when it sticks to the grill, it's not ready yet to be turned over.
No, it's not ready to be turned yet. It needs a little more time. Remember, the biggest thing that I would say, meat is going to tell you when it's ready to be turned over. You're not dictating to the meat when it's ready.
Got it, man.
Yeah. So
that's good to know.
So you're saying to sear it first, like you said, a couple minutes on each side, and then start cooking it? I see. Okay.
Yeah, then reduce the temperature, cook on indirect. So I guess a lot of people would say, well, at that point, it seems like you're kind of cooking in an oven. I can't really make an argument against that. But you're getting different flavor profiles from a grill than you would in an oven. You're not going to get the same smoke kickback.
Right.
Because fat is rendering out of the meat. It's going into the flames. It's vaporizing, and it's going back up into the meat in the form of smoke. You're not doing that at home. You'd smoke yourself out of your house.
Right, right.
That's the benefit of the grill. You're getting all of these different wonderful flavor profiles on meat that you wouldn't normally get by cooking inside. Now, you don't experience the same type of thermal patterns that we get to experience out here in the Midwest. So when it's hot out, the last thing that I want to do is fire up my grill or fire up my oven in the house, so I can add another 20 degrees to the ambient temperature in the house.
Yeah.
I'll take it outside. Anything I cook inside, I make sure that I can replicate outside because it keeps my house cooler and it gives it that nice, more of a depth flavor profile than you're going to get just by cooking it in the oven.
Definitely. I mean, there's a very different flavor. A distinct difference between them. And now, what about the size of the steak? Does that make a difference? I mean, isn't it better to make it a smaller one rather than a large one?
I think you're probably talking about thickness. And
Not the thickness, but the size of it. I mean, does that make a difference?
No, I mean, depending on what cut you get, you really can't dictate how big the cut is going to be.
But I can cut it in half. I can cut it in half or something, And
you're cutting down cooking time, I suppose, because you're dealing with, half of the mass that you might initially start with, but the technique is still the same.
Okay.
But you're going to be cutting down on the cooking time, so maybe instead of, searing it on for 2 minutes or 3 minutes on each side, you're cutting it in half or you're cutting it in thirds, you might be looking at a minute on each side. Because you're just not dealing with the sheer mass that you were when you started before you started cutting it up.
I see. Okay. Now, at any point during the cooking, do you put it directly over the fire or is that a no-no?
Yeah. So right at the top side, when you're getting that sear, it goes directly over it. And then once you're done searing it, then that's when you would move it off of the heat and finish it at that point.
Gotcha.
One of the other things that I would highly recommend, especially for people that either like to grill a lot, or people are going to start getting into barbecue, which is a different style of cooking method,
right,
is to get a really good instant read thermometer so you can check your internal temperatures of your meat. Because that is where you're finding out, I've overshot, it's not done enough, especially with like chicken or pork. And you want to cook it to where it's safe. You don't want to serve anybody raw chicken. They're going to get E. coli, die, and now you have a huge lawsuit.
Yeah, that would suck.
Worse than that, people make fun of you forever for serving raw chicken. Who needs that? But you have to arm yourself with the right tool. So there's a product out there made by ThermoWorks. It's called the ThermoPen. Now, I'm going to tell you the price of this thermometer. You're going to shit your pants, but I swear to God, it is one of the best investments you can make. If you're into cooking barbecue or grilling, and especially if you're doing it quite frequently, it's $85.
Wow.
But
well, yeah.
I'm like, what?
But for a pro,
$85. It's easily $80 more than you would typically spend for a digital instant read thermometer. But you buy that $5 one at the grocery store, you stick it into the meat, you're going to wait 25, 30 seconds before it's really temped out totally. Mm. With this particular brand, because it works on a completely different sensory system, you have a reading in like 1 to 2 seconds.
Oh wow.
It's accurate plus or minus 1 degree. So it is by far the most advanced thermometer on the face of the earth. Plus, you're not having to wait. You're losing heat from your grill. Your guests are becoming impatient because, you're taking so much time checking the meat temperature. This is done in 2 seconds. Plus, it's got a self-sealing, you know, when you're sticking that probe in, it makes a little bit hole. This is so tiny, once you put it, once you pull it back out of the meat, it kind of seals itself, so you're not losing any juices either.
That's true, yeah. And and I remember you telling me once that cutting the meat while it's cooking is not a good idea, right? You're going to lose all the juices and everything?
I mean, you're losing all the juice. So, you know, the best way to tell, you know, and the people that really cook a lot, especially on the grill, when they think it's kind of done, they can push on it. And depending on how much yield that meat is giving you, they can pretty much get a pretty good ballpark on where it is. So then you take it off the grill, and then you let it sit. You can loosely tent the meat with foil if you want to. I just put it on my plate. I'll let it sit about, you know, 5 to 10 minutes. And you let those juices redistribute back into the meat, and then once you cut into it, you know, you got this nice, juicy, flavorful piece of steak or whatever it is you're cooking.
Yeah.
But never while you're cooking, you're just losing all the juice. The only reason you would want to cut a piece of meat while you're cooking is if somebody is ordering it well done. And to be quite honest, if anybody ever ordered something from me well done, I would disinvite them as a friend. They would never come back over.
Not much flavor left, huh? By the time
believe it or not, it's actually been scientifically proven that a steak is most flavorful and juicy when it's cooked to medium rare, which is like 130, 135 degrees internal temperature. So why would you go any farther than that?
Yeah.
Remember, please pass if you'll glean any type of information from the steak talk that we're having right now, Sam, is if you cut into a medium rare steak and the juice comes out and people's immediate reaction is, that's blood. How many times have you heard it?
Yes.
Bloody steak.
Right.
Yeah.
Bullshit. It's not blood. It's not blood. Animals are drained of all their blood during the slaughtering process. What you see is myoglobin. That is not blood. That's just a mineral, or that's just a cell in the blood. It's pink. It is not. If that was blood, it would be dark. It would be black. It would be coagulated. It would be disgusting.
Yes.
So it is not blood. Please, people, don't be afraid of the medium rare steak. It's your best tasting friend, and it's not blood, for crying out loud.
Wow. Well, that's a big discovery, man. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not blood. Not blood.
Yeah. Well, this is amazing. I definitely learned a lot. Now I'm eager to try all the tips and everything that you gave us. So everybody, catch Barbecue Central Tuesdays at 6 p.m. And also, your website is barbecuecentral.com.
TheBBQCentralShow.com.
So much for my memory.
I do want to say something. It's kind of funny because, I mean, cooking can be so sexual. Like, when you're saying all this stuff, I want to make so many comments, but I was like, I'm not going to. I'm just not going to.
We haven't even talked about the homoeroticism of barbecue. Whole packers injecting beef.
Sausage.
Rubbing breasts, rubbing thighs. I mean, it's so crazy when we talk about it. I always say, if somebody would ever just happen to find my show in the middle of talking with some of these championship pitmasters, they would wonder what the hell they just tuned into.
Yeah.
Is this barbecue or, you know, gay.com?
Yeah. All right. Well, Greg Rempe, thank you so much for all the information, man. You're cool. And I know the people that come to your house on 4th of July are going to have a tasty meal.
Yeah, for sure. What I was going to say was, there was this show that was supposed to be on TV and it never did. And I was up for it to be the female host. And it was all these different chefs that were on. And they wanted me to be a little bit naughty. And I was like, oh, that's easy. That's super easy. You want me to just be me. Okay. So it was pretty funny. And then they were like, okay, you're a little too much. We need to tone you down. I'm like, I can tone down anything you want. Like, you're supposed to go out all out.
Right.
So I know that you can. And then you tone me down. And then they wind up going with another girl. But whatever. And then the show never happened.
That's whack.
Yeah. Totally.
Well, Greg, thank you so much. Greg, by the way, is also the voice of all our bumpers and introductions and everything that you hear. So, Greg is a good friend. Too bad you're far from us, because I would love to meet you in person, man. You're a lot of fun and very funny. And and that's it, man. That's my love story for you today.
Well, I appreciate it, Sam. I appreciate you just having me on talking about what I like to do instead of me calling in and making an asshole out of myself, which is what I normally do when I call it.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you. You know, we started this thing, you know, 4 years ago. It'll be 5 years ago in February. I can't believe, you know, how the station has grown and how all the shows have kind of, you know, some have come and gone. But, you know, the ones that have really stayed have really become a pillar of the LA Talk Radio studios, and I'm just happy to be a part of it, and I appreciate you letting me on when I had answered that Craig, I mean, how does anybody find anybody? I find Sam when it was BBS Talk Radio as we were starting through Craigslist. I mean, everybody's finding everybody through Craigslist.
Yeah, exactly. And the amazing thing is you were looking at Craigslist on in L.A., and which was interesting too, you know. So it, I guess it was just meant to be, man. You know, we're a match made in heaven.
That's right.
All right, Greg. Well, thanks so much, man, again, and have a great holiday and all the best.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. I got to play this for you. Greg did this one. Do you know who George Takei is? I think I asked you before. He's an older gay man. He used to be on Star Trek, the Asian guy, and in the original soundtrack, Star Trek, and he comes on Howard Stern sometimes and stuff. So listen to this. This is funny, and this is Greg.
Hello, George Takei here. You know, the only thing more gay than me and Rad are the confines the FCC placed on terrestrial radio. That's why I tune in to the internet and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's better than sucking cock. Oh my.
Did you listen?
That's
you
really funny. Listen. I did listen.
You didn't listen.
I did. I think it's cute.
It's like it sounds.
I don't
so
know
innocent
who this guy is, so I can't.
It sounds
like,
so innocent, and then he shocks you, you know, with a better.
I know that he's like this gay, yeah. And you're like, what?
You do know Borat, right?
Yes.
Hello, this is Borat again. When I am traveling around the world and have internet connections, I like to gently cup up my balls and listen to LA Talk Radio.
I really like that one.
Oh man,
that's Greg, a good one.
Good. Yeah.
See, I know Borat. I don't know the other guy, so I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it's cute, but I don't find it.
We need to
funny.
Start having him do some more impressions and stuff.
Oh He's my god, amazing. You should.
Yeah, I love Greg. So anyway, thanks Greg for all those tips. And yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know how it is. For some reason, we used to have people over. I would make great barbecue. Everybody would be happy with it. And then lately, I'm just screwing up. You know, every time I eat it, everybody's trying to be, or make it. People are trying to be polite to eat it. But, you know, it is family, so they tell you to your face. It sucks.
They're like, this totally blows.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really funny.
So, yeah.
I guess you do have to clean your grill. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
With all the flavors from before. And that does make sense. And I definitely don't do that.
Yeah. But I think some of the flavor from before is actually not a bad thing. If you have some of the bricks left and stuff like that, you know, it kind of adds some flavor and stuff to it. But, yeah. So maybe, you know, if we stay in town, we'll barbecue. But
yeah.
We'll see. And I'll practice what he said. That searing part sounds interesting, you know?
Yeah, it does sound interesting. Yeah. I mean, I don't really barbecue. Well, I don't eat meat anymore. So
yeah,
matter,
that's true. So
fish and stuff, I'm down for that. I wish I would have asked more about fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Fish takes, I think, a special way to cook it.
Yeah, I think, like, I remember doing it in foil or something before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it falls apart, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, I'm thinking, too, we're going to do crabs. Mm. And we're going to... I'm really excited about that. We're overnighting them and everything. And I'm stoked. So, because me and my crabs, I got to have my crabs every 4th of July.
Uh-huh.
So, it's weird because, like, usually I have a party for the 4th of July at my house, but I'm not this year. So, but last year was really cool. I did that. And we overnighted crabs and had a crab feast. And I got the slip and slide out for everybody. It was a double slip and slide.
Uh-huh.
So, you had to race each other. And I had a skin board, which was so stupid because, like, a bunch of drunk people on a skin board, like, you just, that's just not good.
No.
No, it's not. That was really stupid. But, yeah, what are you going to do?
Well, talking about drinking, I wanted to bring this up. I guess, I don't know why they're making a big deal that Kelly Osbourne got drunk on a plane. So
what?
Yeah, you know, maybe
who doesn't
because,
get drunk on a plane? I get wasted on a plane.
But maybe because she claimed that she was in rehab and all that stuff, you know, and then, you know,
she's
falling off the wagon. So
she's not falling off the wagon. No. Here's the thing. I mean, she went to rehab for other things. It wasn't for drinking. That's for other things.
But usually when you go for other things, they tell you can't
rule.
Use anything.
Don't do anything else.
Yeah,
but
it's
you know
true,
what?
Because otherwise you switch addiction, you know?
Some people, some don't. Most people maybe, but I have friends that were addicted to one thing, and then they don't do that anymore, and they went away to like make sure they got that out of their system because it was just that one thing,
right.
And they drink, and
that's
they're fine.
Cool.
They're totally fine.
Yeah.
And they don't drink like all the time. They have like occasional drinks here and there. And first of all, when you're on a plane, did they say what kind of flight it was?
Well, let's listen to what she says because they're interviewing her.
Because if it's a long plane flight, then hell yeah, you want to get drunk so you can pass the fuck out.
All right, let's hear what she has to say.
Told me about his brother having MS and kind of directed me.
Hold on a second here.
Osborne's reputation, and if that is in any way going to take a hit, this was really interesting to me. She just admitted that she got drunk on a plane. Now, we know Kelly has been to rehab several times, and she gave a brand new interview that was just released today with Radar Online where she talked very candidly about what just happened. Let's watch that.
I got drunk on the plane to Atlanta. I was on an empty stomach, and before I got on the plane, a gentleman came up to me and asked me how my brother was doing, and they told me about his brother having MS and kind of directed me towards a website. And then on the plane, I started looking at the website when we were up in altitude and you could go on Wi-Fi, and it described how bad certain cases of MS really got, and it made me lose it because I've sat there through my mom having cancer, my father almost dying in a bike accident, and now it's my brother who's my best friend, and I lost it.
Wow. And she went on to say that it's no excuse, but she's not going to lie about it. And I have to say, I admire her honesty, but do you think it was...
Okay, well, I will say this. Like, that's something that's really hard to go through or deal with. And that's what I'm saying. Like, there's got to be a reason. And then there you go. Because if I was dealing with that, I would probably go through the same thing. Like, you know?
It's really scary, huh?
It is really scary.
You know, when someone in your family is facing something like that.
Yeah. It is really scary. So, I mean, especially when it's just so new and some, you know, you're in the airport and some random guy comes up and you're talking and and then he shows you a site. And of course, on the website, they show the worst case scenarios on there. So that's kind of, you know, that's going to be a shock to anyone.
Yeah.
Let alone if it's something personal to you, you're going to be scared and freaking out. And okay, so you probably want to take some kind of relaxer or something just to kind of veg out. And if you hadn't eaten anything for the rest of the day, one drink's going to make you stupid.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't ever drink. You know, one drink or even two are going to make you just completely drunk.
Right.
So it's not like she sat there and drank drinks and drinks and drinks and drinks. There was a reason behind it. And she was on an empty stomach. And that's what happened.
Yeah. What's amazing is it's even news, you know. I mean, who really cares, you know. But I guess, you know, when you're in the public eye, man, people care about everything, you know.
People watch whatever you do. And I think that is just... It's so lame.
Yeah.
It's like, get your own
life.
But
that's the price of fame. It's not all that it's cracked up to be, you know?
I understand. Trust me, I know. I mean, I'm not anyone compared to, you know, to the majority of these people, but I've dealt with stupid things that people were like, you're doing this, you're doing that. So what?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And my whole thing is if you don't like me, then don't fucking follow me.
Yeah.
Don't listen to me. Don't look at my tweets. Don't, you know, whatever. I don't really care.
Right.
And that'll never change. You know, I'll always be that way. And that sucks. But I remember, like, you know, being around some of my other celebrity friends. And, yeah, they have to be so careful. I mean, it was, like, even so careful. Like, one of my good friends, like, ran out of gas and was on the side of the road and asked me to go grab a gas can because I happened to be in the area. And I was like, sure, yeah, no worries. So he's waiting in the car because there's a ton of paparazzi and people outside watching. And so I came and I was like, here's the gas can. And then he was all dressed up in a suit. So, and I'm in like crap clothes. Like I was coming from the gym. So I was like, oh, I'll do it. I'll pour the gas in the car. And he's like, no, I can't. I'm like, why? He said, because that will look really bad because all the press are watching. Right? He's like, look across the street. I didn't even notice.
Right.
I'm like, oh. And I was like, whatever. Who cares? Look what I'm wearing and look what you're wearing. It makes sense. And he goes, no, it's the fact that if I let you do it for me and you're a girl, it's going to look really bad.
It'll
and
be
I'm
like
this
big
is
news.
So stupid. Okay. You know, so you're going to smell like gasoline to your event that you have to go to? So you're going to smell like ass, basically, because whatever. You know, see me, I would have just been like, yeah, you do it, you know, because I'm dressed up. Like,
right.
But I mean, it's just so stupid.
Yeah, I guess they have to think about all these things. Cause the reputation's on the line, you know. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, who wants to have, you know, paparazzi and shit following you everywhere and knowing every little thing that you do?
And you shouldn't have to explain yourself.
Right.
You really shouldn't. It's your life.
Right.
Why do you wipe your ass that way instead of this way? You know what I mean? It's just like that's what it's kind of coming down to. So, I mean, it just pisses me off.
Yeah, I think some people get a feeling like they own the celebrities, you know, like as though it's like they owe them something, you know, or like they hold them as you know, role models and stuff. And I don't think that's right at all. I mean, why would you just take someone who happens to be able to sing or act and you know, and learn lessons from them? I don't understand that.
I mean, you know, it's the press's fault in a way, because they're the ones that make a big freaking deal about it. And then once they make a big deal, then it's like, you know, they're the ones that are constantly feeding the fire and feeding the flame.
Right.
Like, honestly, like, all the paparazzi are. You know, it's like the more shit that they, you know, they film and you know, put up there, then the more it's like, it's just egging it on and on and on and on. So it's like, basically, you can make anyone famous in a way. This is what my point is. Right. This is why all the stupid, like, reality, like Jersey Shore and all that stupid shit. Uh-huh. It's because they pay for a publicist who pays the paparazzi to take photos of them, to put them up. So therefore, now they're known because these press follow them around everywhere they go and take photos of them. Mm. So now they become more known. So then other press and other paparazzi want to come in on the deal because they're going to make more money off all this deal.
Right,
because
so now
it's
they're
stupid,
known.
Stupid, never-ending freaking story.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll keep bitching.
Yeah, what the hell? Why not, right?
I just, you know, it's just sad. It's like I have a lot of really good friends that, you know, are in that world, and it is what it is. Just because they happen to be good at acting or good at, you know, performing or directing or whatever, you know, like, oh, now we're just gonna report every time someone burps, shits, farts, or whatever. I mean, that's just retarded.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really stupid.
But that's what we've made out of celebrities, though. You know, it's like they're fucking royalty here.
But then again, it's like if they, I guess in a way, if we didn't have the press in that sense, then they wouldn't have half the other things that they get.
Yeah, exactly. So you wouldn't have the fame and stuff.
It's a catch-22, I guess.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, I think, as far as fame and stuff. You
yeah.
know? But, you know, what are you going to do, man?
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, I guess the big news yesterday was that the health Obamacare was passed by the Supreme Court. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, you're probably the only one who doesn't, but that's okay. Well, it means you're going to have affordable health care for whatever the hell that means.
Yeah, right. That's if you were to get on their bandwagon. I pay for my own. I'm private, PPO.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to make sure I get the good health care, you know? I don't want to,
Exactly, but, you know, we have, it seems like we have got socialism in this country now. And,
you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, very much.
All right, well, that's it for today. Brigetta, thank you so much. Have a great week. Everybody, have a great 4th of July, and we'll see you soon. Take care.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an L.A. talk radio production where we say what we want.